We've been talking about love, as it's pointed out in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So we've been talking about love, and certainly the only way we can know it is from how God has said He is love. So we know that the two greatest commandments, as Jesus talked about this from the law of Moses, were about the love of God and the love of man, according to Matthew 22, 37 through 40. So how do we make application of the way love is used in the Bible? How would we possibly make application to that in our lives? First of all, let's see how Jesus taught about it. What did He have to say? So how do we love God? Well, John 14, verse 15, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." You see, it's not a matter of just saying to Him every day, "Well, I love you, Jesus," and go before Him and say, "I love you," and then go do whatever we want to do. That's not love. Not the way He talks about it. He says in verse 21, "He who has My commandments and keeps them." We have to know them and we have to keep them. It is he who loves me. He said, "I'm making this very simple for you. If you just do what I ask, you love me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." What a beautiful thought. First John 5, 1 through 3. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And, not just believes, everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." My dad used to point out, "I've never seen God." And that's what 1 John 4 would point out. You've never seen Him. Not someone, a being that we can go up to and show affection to like we do human beings. God says, "If you want to prove your love to me, keep my commandments." That's simple. But first, you got to know them. You got to understand them. In 2 John 1, verse 6, "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So now He's clarified it for us. He's demonstrated His love for us by dying on the cross for our sins. And now He says in return, "You need to keep my commandments, keep the commandments of my Father in heaven." You see, love without obedience is not love. Just like we discussed from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, those things are not love. Not biblical love at all. Love of God is not just saying we love Him. I hear people all the time, "But I love God." And they make no effort to keep any of His commandments. They don't follow His Word. They don't look into His Word. They don't search out His Word. In 1 John 4, 20, if someone says, "I love God," now He's going to give an illustration of that. "And hates, detests, abhors his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen?" The truth is, you are just lying if you say, "I love you, God," and then the illustration He uses here is, "But on the other hand, I hate Mark. I detest him. I wish the worst for Mark." You see, that won't work. Just doing anything we want to is not showing love. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,'" regardless of where you're saying it with, "I love you, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name,'" back to 1 Corinthians 13, "'cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works in your name.'" Wasn't that proving it? "And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness.' You did not keep my commandments." I don't care how good you thought your works were. You weren't doing the ones that I told you to do. Love of God is not moving away from what's authorized. In Galatians 1, Paul talks about this, and he marvels that they're so soon turned away from the gospel of Christ. And he said, "Which is not another, but there be some trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." He said, "If anyone comes to you and brings not this gospel to you, let him be accursed." He goes on to say, "You know, I didn't receive it from man," verse 12, "nor was I taught it, but came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I followed what Christ had to say. And it doesn't matter if an angel from heaven came and taught you something different. You don't love me when you do what that angel says if it's contrary to what I've already told you, or if you keep what a person tells you to do." Too many people think, "But God will be happy with me. I'm doing some good things." Not if God did not tell you to do them. So now let's get the hard part of the lesson. Let's look at love demonstrated. First of all, let's look at love demonstrated in the family. Husband. In Ephesians 5, he discusses this about the husband. Verses 23 through 25. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. 28 and 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And then Peter has some more to say about this in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. He said, demonstrate it. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That's strong, that's powerful. That's saying, what's your commands about me being the husband, Jesus? What do I do, God? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act as a husband? What is it you expect from me in the family? All I need to do every day, like 50 times a day, is say, I love you. That's it. And boy, my wife's going to be happy. No. Demonstrate it. If I love my wife, I'll lead my family. I won't do anything else. I will understand that I have been given a great responsibility. I can't shirk that responsibility. If I love her, I'll lead it. I can't make her follow, but I will lead. If I love my wife, I'll be sacrificial. I won't put myself first, because when it says about loving my body, he's not talking about I've got this wonderful body that everybody should love. He's not talking about that. He's talking about I take care of my body. If I love me, I do the best I can for my body if I love me. So what would I want for my wife? I would want the same thing. I would nourish and cherish her. I would take care of her every possible way that I could. If I love my wife, I would give my life for her. That's what it took for her to continue to exist. If I love my wife, I will honor her. Now, some know she's already on a pedestal high enough, but I would honor her. I will say to her, I appreciate you, and I mean it, and I'm going to show it to you every day of my life. I won't just say it. If I love my wife, I will be a spiritual leader. I won't just hope that she can learn it when we assemble on the first day of the week. I will teach in my family. I will lead my family spiritually. I will study with her every day of my life something about God's Word. Why? Because we want to be heirs together of the grace of life. And let me tell you something. That and her are the most important thing in my life other than God and Jesus. I will put her there because we are heirs together of the grace of life. What about the wife? Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's go now back to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. No, it won't be the wife will say every day, I love you, I love you, I love you with all of my heart. She loves him. She will submit to him as unto the Lord. People don't want to hear this anymore, but that's the way God set up the family, and that's the way He meant it to be. If she truly loves her husband, she will submit as unto the Lord. So, keep my commandments if you love me. First, you have to love God. See, if we first love God, all these things take care of themselves. If she loves her husband, she will show respect for his leadership. She will not put him down. She will not go about talking about him. She will not make fun of him in front of other people. I'm talking about people here, obviously, that deserve respect, that deserve honor. God's talking about people where both are trying to do God's will. If she loves her husband, she will live in obedience to God first. If you notice this, it won't be that outward appearance of, look how good I look. It'll be the inner appearance of how beautiful I am. And I want to say again how much I appreciate Larry and Jane he has stood for the truth. They have, stood for the truth for many years as I can know them. And I appreciate their love for one another and how they've shown that through a very difficult time. Many others in this audience have too. I'm not just because they're visiting today. I just have to tell you how much I appreciate them and how much I truly love them. I'm not going to demonstrate it to them, but I do. If she loves her husband, she will be like Sarah. Did you notice in this passage, you want to be like a Sarah or you want to be like a Jezebel? You have your choice. Which one you want to be? As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good. I'm not afraid with any terror. If you don't let the world determine how you live in the family. You see, if the husband and the wife are working together well in this, it'll work. Many husbands aren't treating their wives the way they should. And as a result, the wife does things maybe that are wrong, but then both are wrong. See, it doesn't really matter in this. That's not what God's talking about. He's saying, as a husband, you live your life the way you should. As a wife, you live your life the way I tell you to do it. And then things will be well with me, not with other human beings. Fathers? Wow, tough one. You know, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3, 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Fathers, you can tell your children all day long how much you love them. But if you live right with God and you do what He says, you don't love them. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many times you tell me. You don't love them the way God wants you to love them. If you love your children, you don't provoke them, you don't discourage them. Well, wait just a second. What if I tell them that they need to pick up God's Word and study it? That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about asking of them something that's not possible for them to do or just constantly deriding them, putting them down. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about training them up. It's a training of the Lord. Well, I plan on doing that someday. You better plan on doing it the day they're born. The minute they understand anything, you have that plan in mind. I'm going to teach them God's Word. And I'll never quit. Fathers, you never cease being a father. Larry and I were talking about this the other day. My dad never ceased being my father. And he never gave up trying to teach me. He wasn't always successful, but he sure gave it a shot. And Larry said the same thing about his father. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Then the admonishing of the Lord as well. You don't just pat them on the back. You tell them what the results are. You tell them they better do it. And they will do it as long as they're in your household. You can't control them after they leave the house. Them mothers. Tells the older women, teach the younger women to love their children. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we find that Paul had a mother and a grandmother. So we find out that they had kept the Old Testament scriptures their whole life. And he's thankful for that. But they didn't just keep them. That mother and that grandmother were doing some teaching. Because we find in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, that you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Somebody took some time. It was a mother and a grandmother that sat down with that child. You know what people are waiting for? They're waiting for the church to do it. That way they got an excuse. If it didn't work, it was the church's fault. No, it's your fault. You're the parent. You have to do it. You've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Mothers, you need to love your children. You need to love them so much that you'll demonstrate your love for God in front of them every day of your life. Let them then make the choice. If they fail in it, you've done your duty. Mothers, you need to be teaching your children every day about God's Word. Not one day should pass that you don't teach them something from God's Word. Where else are they going to learn it? What do you want them to learn? Get them out in the world and see how much they learn. You need to teach them. Children, I don't care what your age is, if you've got parents right now that are living. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They may be well with you, that you may live long in the earth. Something he'd given under the old law. In Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, you can tell your parents all the time, oh, I love you. I just love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm going to do what I want to do while I'm in your house. I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to be a problem for you. Or, even after I leave your house, I'm going to treat you like dirt. But I love you. No. You see, obey. If you want to be pleasing to God, you have to demonstrate it. You show your parents that when they tell you to do something, you do it. Because you understand, this is from God. We've already learned, if you don't do what God says, consequences are severe. You know, you might get by with it with your parents, but I can promise you something, you'll never get by with it with God. Days that I regret looking back for the days that I did not listen to my parents, that I did not do what my parents wanted me to do. And I can guarantee you, that every time I did that, and I'm thankful I had some good parents, I got in trouble. Isn't that amazing? They were trying to keep me out of trouble. And I just never got it. And then one day, I had my own. Then I got it. Children, honor your parents. Now, again, I've said this before. Honor to whom honors you. I know there's some parents out there that have just been horrible. I'll tell you what, you honor them in every way that you can because they brought you into this world and they took care of you. And if you have good, godly parents, honor them. How do you honor them? Show it to them every day. Do something for them. Take care of them. Some of us are giving up on the children. We're just hoping for the grandchildren. I'm just kidding on that. We truly have a problem in this country. We severely have a problem. Not just out in the world, but in the Lord's church. I'm saddened by it. Just wished I could tell these people that it's not the fact that they're not honoring their parents. It's first and foremost the fact that they're not honoring God. That's sad. So how do we do it in the church? Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." He said, what a blessing it is to be a part of the Lord's church. This is your brothers and sisters, as Christ would point out. These are the ones that will stand beside you. Regardless of where you have blood kin or not, these are the ones. It is people who are brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in the Lord by not influencing them to sin. I see so many times where people don't cause others to sin. And I'm certain in my life I've done the same thing. Sad, isn't it? But an illustration of this found in Romans 13, 8 through 10. For no one anything except to love one another. Why? For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Why? For the commandments. That's why. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery can't be committed unless somebody else is involved. You shall not murder. You have to take another person's life. You're involving someone else. You shall not steal. You're taking from someone else. You shall not bear false witness. You're speaking lies about someone else. You shall not covet. You're wanting what belongs to someone else. It's not love. That's demonstrating the opposite of love, as God would have it. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You will not, he said, if you love, not only in the Lord's church, and that's using it that way, it could also be outside, you will not commit sin or cause them to commit sin or do something that sins. And we need to help those in need. In 2 Corinthians 8, 24 through the next chapter, verse 2, therefore show to them and for the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf. He said, don't just say, I love you, needy Christians, when you can help them. Two things. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. And then, just as Christ came to this earth to serve us. In Galatians 5:13, for you brethren have been called to liberty. You have your freedom now from sin, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't. Use it to sin, but through love, serve one another. How do we demonstrate it? By serving one another. And last but not least, by correcting one in sin. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The greatest way that I could ever show love for a fellow Christian, and the greatest way that a Christian can show love toward me, is by correcting me if I'm living in sin. Helping me get back on track again. Restoring me. As he says in James 5:19-20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Think about it for a moment. Stopping sin in its tracks will prevent that sin from spreading. Because as we find out in 1 Corinthians 5, if they didn't stop it, it would spread to everybody in the congregation. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, love will exist in eternity. It's the one forever. Faith and hope will no longer be needed. Faith will be realized and hope will be realized, but love will still be there. So if we love those that are lost, whether it be a family member, a friend, someone in the community, someone we work with, what would you do for them? Just let it go every day? Or would you talk to them? Would you let people know? Would you try to correct them in their sin if you loved them? I think we would teach the gospel to everyone we could. We would teach everyone that we could. Just as He gave His life on the cross for our sins so that we could have forgiveness, we too need to make it sacrificial in our life and teach others about God's Word. If you have any needs, we're going to stand and sing a song. We would be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?